Hello, and welcome to the Business Spotlight interview series. Tayana, I'm your host, Anu Khanna, and I'm delighted to have you, the founder and CEO at Dynamic Metrics Limited, a world leader in gait assessment technology, Gait Smart. For benefit of our viewers, Tayana, what does gait assessment technology even mean in very simple terms?
Right, okay. So we measure how people walk, and then we use that data to work out where their issues are, how bad they are. And then we take that one stage further and we offer them a personalized rehabilitation exercise program to address it. So it's a complete package analysis and rehab program in one.
Wow, fantastic. Thank you. And you're clearly very successful in your field, in what you do. So what would you attribute your success to?
I would say it's, in our case, it's the technology. Mm-hmm. If we didn't have a world-beating technology, we wouldn't be where we are today. So it is primarily down to the years of work to get the product to the level that it is.
Wow. When you say years of work, how long are we talking?
Oh, the company, the product has been in thoughts from 2008. So it's 15 years of
wow.
And a decade of research to get it to the level that you can say this is a quality product and we can do what we say we can.
Amazing. That requires a lot of persistence, 15 years, dedication,
yeah.
Focus, commitment, perseverance, all these words come to my mind.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that you have to, I mean, we are a scientific company. And so we understand the importance of getting things right. And that is the only way you're going to bring something that is a true breakthrough technology. You can't cut corners. You have to do the work. You have to publish the work. You have to give the evidence to the wider world population that you do know what you're doing and here's the evidence of it. So everyone will say, oh, yeah, I do this. Where's your evidence? That's really where we do sort of exceed any of the other competing technologies out there.
Amazing. Yes, you mentioned it's a scientific company. It's still a business. So it's still
a business
company.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So all the viewers that are listening to this are business owners.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of them listening to you. So what are some common misconceptions about running a business and how do you deal with them?
Well, I think the thing is that people come at business from a lot of different ways. If you're developing products, then you've got to go through a certain long process to get it to a point where you can sell something. And obviously, business is all about selling.
Yes.
So I think that people that come at it from sort of science and technology, that's the focus for perhaps too long. And then you get to the point where you say, okay, I've got something I can sell now. So what the misconceptions are, you know, a business has to make money at some point. And
yes.
Where does it make money? And are you aware of when you will be able to make money?
Yes.
If you were setting up something that is already in existence, obviously you can start straight at the making money, selling to customers. So I think that the whole concept of business, it varies where you are in that pathway. What is your business?
Yes. Yes. And for a scientific business, what challenges are you currently meeting or have you met during your journey?
Well, many, because we have a medical device, so we are very heavily regulated.
Yeah.
So we have to meet European requirements, UK requirements. If we want to sell in the States, we have to meet US requirements, Canada requirements. They're
wow.
all different. Every country has its own regulatory requirements. And you then have to have your quality back it up. So we are regulated by BSI. We are under the Medical Device Regulatory MHRA, and of course FDA in the US, Europe.
Wow.
It goes on and on, and those, I don't think anyone realizes the depth and the complexity of it until you start doing it. You know, people say, oh yes, you need to get this and you need to get that, but actually the work required to do that is enormous.
Wow. And how big is your team? Is that you doing it all by yourself?
Oh goodness, no, and I definitely couldn't. There's only six of us. We've had different sizes. We've never been more than about 10 or 11, because the other thing is, if you're focusing on a product, you all need to know exactly what you're doing. You can't rush things.
Yeah.
So if you, you know, your medical product, you have to get all your regulatory, you have to do clinical studies, so you have to find clinical partners. So we work with an awful lot of partners outside our company. So our strength is knowing which other organizations, working in programs with them, etc.
Right. And you clearly have done a lot of hard work, focused work to get to where you are. But if you were to start from square one, let's say if you had to restart, what would you do differently?
What we would do differently, we would certainly, the point is knowing which market you're going to address. So when we started, we said, right, okay, we know what we want to do, but there's a lot of different markets we could address. So we had an equine product, a human product for different, we had sports product, and that was just too diverse. So you were spending far too much time doing something very, very different, and the markets are different, the way you market is very different. So if I was starting again, I would pick one market and do it just that. So,
and which market would that be, Diana?
It would be the one we're in now, which is the human. So we focus on musculoskeletal issues. So that's falls and frailty, osteoarthritis, joint replacement. That's a massive market, and we never needed to look elsewhere. And you do just get too much diversity, and it's you can't focus. So that was... that's definitely one thing we would change, or I would change.
Yes, that's such a great reflection, because diversification could be both a blessing or a curse.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I think that this is the thing. People say, oh, you can do that. Oh, you can do that. And you do get led. You know, a football club says, oh, we might be able to use you here. So you spend a lot of effort, and then you realize you're not really very good for that market. And then you go off to another one because somebody else says this. So you're too easily, or we were too easily, led into lots of different potential market. Whereas if I knew now, then what I know now, I would have said, right, I'm just focusing on that.
Wow. To all the listeners there, that is such a great reflection and such a great takeaway, a learning. The shiny object syndrome, do away with and focus on
something. And don't get led by potential customers, because they can consume an enormous amount of your time and energy, your research, your development, your marketing. You know, they consume everything, because they say, could you just do this? There's no such thing as just do this.
Yes.
There's a lot of work behind that. So don't be misled.
Yes, that's such a great share. Thank you. Would you say that is also your biggest business learning, or would there be something else to add on to?
I think business learning, again, we're more in the science side. And of course, we needed to understand business side, but we weren't proficient in that. And the hardest thing is not running a business. Running a business isn't too difficult, but running a business with the right amount of income or, you know, funding from some sort, and working out where your customers are and all the periphery of the business side, which is enormous. Often people will get experts in, and also, you know, business angels, venture funders, whatever, that you need to understand before you embark on it, because there's so many things that you won't know and you'll find out, and some of them may be quite a hard learning. So, you know, when you're going through that, try and bring people in, find many, many different sources of knowledge so that you don't fall down traps. You know, use other experts or any expertise, knowledge that you can gain to help you in decisions will be time and money well spent.
Yes, golden words have been spoken. Thank you, Diana. And, you know, being a woman, being a lady in the business and being the founder and the CEO, I always really look up to, you know, how you're balancing both your personal and your business life. So how do you balance it with the demands of your business?
I say, I'm not sure you do. I think that bottom line, you have to be able to leave the business. You have to be able to do other things. But equally well, you will worry about things. It's in anybody's nature if they run a business, whoever you are. So I think that I do have a lot of things outside business that I will try and do, make sure I do. I've got a horse in the garden, I ride it. I've got a dog sitting by my feet, so I walk the dog, and, you know, and I go skiing when I can. So the thing is, do try to make sure that you have holidays, have a weekend. You won't always manage it, but if that's your goal, you stand a chance of doing it. So, you know, don't drop everything else, because that you won't win anyway. If you spend all your time in your business, you won't be very good at it.
Yes.
You won't reflect. You know, when I'm sitting on the horse, I think, oh yeah, I need to do that and I need to do that. So I'm thinking about business, but I'm not at my desk trying to do something. Mm. And I think those sort of times to reflect rather than do,
yes,
are very, very valuable. And they can be anywhere, you can be doing anything, but also do things that you have no way of being able to think about work as well. Like when you're skiing down a black run, you're not thinking about, oh, I wonder if this, you're thinking about getting down there safely. So you completely switch off.
Yes. Quite multifaceted, yeah. And it's a time to take to regenerate and refresh yourself.
Yes. And there's many, many different things. People always say, try and find some time, don't overstress. Business owners will stress.
Mm.
So you have to work out, how do you cope with that, rather than, I'm not going to stress. Of course you are, but you need to be able to cope with that stress.
Yes.
And that's important. And everybody will be different. You know, some people will want to go for a walk. Some people go gardening. Mm-hmm. Some people will go out for a cup of coffee with their friends. You know, it doesn't matter what it is, but you do have to physically make sure you do it.
Yes.
And that, I think, is common, whichever business you're in, whoever you are, that's the common answer, I think. Make sure you stop at a point and say, right, now I'm going to go and do this.
Yes, absolutely. And whatever works for you.
Yes, absolutely. Because everybody's different. Absolutely. Mm.
Yes. Yeah, no, thank you. So what does the future look like, Diana?
Well, I'd say rosy. It looks a lot rosier than it did. Because I'd say we're a technology company. We've spent many years doing the research. We're very good at the research. And now we're learning the side of the commercial, the business, making money out of the many years that we've spent on our research.
Mm.
And that's a different side. So, you know, people will have different skills. You need to find different skills. You need to bring people in with different skills because you're moving from your research arm into, well, you've done the research, you've done the product development, now you're on sales and marketing. That's a different field. So that's where we are, but obviously still doing the research, still looking at those sort of things to make sure that the product is always going to be leading edge, not, oh yes, now six other lots have come out with the same thing.
Fantastic. Some really great sharings and great learnings for all our listeners. Thank you so much for your time today, Diana. It was great meeting you and learning more about your entrepreneurial journey.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.